So it's amazing how they think they can create oneness through taking away people's spirits, whereas true oneness is created by enhancing people's spirits. And this is the way of the Brotherhood of Light, is enhancing oneness through enhancing freedom and giving people light. Because a forced oneness is not really oneness. A forced peace is not really peace. If we have peace because if anyone speaks anything out of the ordinary, he gets thrown in prison. That is not peace at all. It's suppression. Suppression is not peace. Yet many people think that suppression is peace. They call that peace. A lack of disturbance is not peace. We might call three different types of peace. The peace through suppression, which is a false peace. It's not really peace at all, because there's all kinds of people in their hearts really want to have their say and give their opinion on things, and they're not able to. So it's a false peace. The second is where, you know, you have a basic cooperation between two peoples, two groups, two nations, and they cooperate together, and they may not see eye to eye, but they live in without, you know, going toward each other, and in basic peace. The third type of peace is the peace that passes all understanding. And this comes only from the Spirit of God. And when this comes, it will be a peace that transcends any peace that happens in the physical world. It is a peace that is also accompanied by joy. And I've asked myself sometimes, the times I felt this peace, why was there such intense joy associated with the peace? And the reason was, it's like you catch a glimpse into the future when you sense the peace that passes all understanding. When you catch a glimpse into the future, you see that the future man is where he recognizes his godhood, he recognizes his oneness with God, he recognizes the brotherhood of man, and he recognizes that all souls are really one. And in this future world where we're headed toward, people will live in this great state of the peace that passes all understanding. And to catch a glimpse of that, what we do is our mind is on a time track from the far past to the far future. And when you catch a glimpse of the feeling of the far future, you will catch that feeling of the peace that passes all understanding. And so that's a fascinating thing to think of, is you actually go into the future when you experience the peace, because that's where the peace is. The peace is in the future. The disturbances are in the past. So we contemplate the past to get solutions for the present, and the solutions for the present guide us to the ultimate future where people live in the peace that passes all understanding. Now, I suppose if we lived in that future, once you get used to a good feeling or a bad feeling, you kind of becomes normal after a while. So those people in the far future that experience this peace, it probably feels very normal to them. But if we go from our state that we're in to their state, then all of a sudden we will notice the big difference. The big difference, the peace that passes understanding that we just experience very rarely here, will be a normal thing in our future, the destiny of the human race. But meanwhile, we have to get grounded and back to the present. And in this present, we have a lot of disagreements. A while back, someone on the keys list said to me, well, you know, why don't we experiment with reaching harmony here on the keys list? And I said, well, it's pretty much something you have to do in a physical group. together. They said, no, I think we can do it here. So I said, okay, I'll throw out a political idea and let's see if we can reach harmony on it, okay? And boy, we had the biggest arguments in the group for about a month. And several people got so mad they almost quit. So it was, so it taught a lesson to the group of how difficult reaching harmony is when two people approach the table with two points of view. Now, there's certain things that are settled pretty easily by a fact. For instance, let's suppose we have two people. One believes in reincarnation and one doesn't. Okay? Well, that's pretty simple. Either there is reincarnation or there isn't. So if there is reincarnation, it's possible to prove it by going to the soul, running it by your soul, and the soul vibrates whenever truth is spoken, especially a true principle. So when a true principle is spoken, the soul vibrates, and the two people feel that vibration together, if they're willing to accept it, can reach harmony. So two people approach the soul. Is there reincarnation or is there not? It's just a yes or no question. And reaching that is relatively simple if the two are sensitive and are willing to approach the soul together. Now, on the other hand, if we say, well, what's the best party, the Democrats or Republicans? There's so many variables there. A Democrat and Republican getting together and approaching the soul, it just won't work because there's about 1,000 things going through their minds about how the other party is screwing up. And so they'll have a very difficult time reaching harmony. And so what we have to do is break the elements down to their basic points. And this is what I tried to do with the group. I said, okay, I can't even remember what the subject was now. But I said, we have to break it down and we have to define our terms. And we couldn't even get the terms defined. Everybody was arguing over what different words meant. And I said, well, it doesn't really matter what the words mean, is that you have to just reach agreement. So we used the same definition of the same word. And people in the group refused to even use the same definition of the same word, you know. And anybody remember what that word was? I don't remember either. I mean, these type of arguments, I just like to let them go. So, but anyway, we couldn't. I think it was freedom or law. Law. That's what it was. Law. I think we couldn't agree on what the word law meant. The legal. What was legal? And we couldn't agree on that. Everybody had a different definition of what was legal. Some people thought what was legal is what should be legal rather than what was legal. And I said, no, that's not what legal is. Legal isn't what should be legal. Legal is what's legal according to the legal authorities. So we couldn't agree on that. And because we couldn't agree on our terms, I told the group, if we can't agree and use the same words, use the same definitions of the words, then we can't reach harmony because when I say legal, it means different than what you say legal, so we won't understand each other. So we first of all have to use the same terms and understand each other. Now, as far as soul contact goes, soul contact is the ingredient that is necessary in order to reach oneness. So first of all, let's explain what soul contact is so everybody understands. A lot of people, especially in the Mormon church, when I say soul contact, they think it means receiving the Spirit, as they say in the church, and it's a little bit different. Does anybody know what the difference is? What's the difference between soul contact and, say, receiving the Spirit, as mentioned in the Mormon church and other churches?
Is one more
John?
one is like something coming upon you, where the other is from within.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Anybody else?
I would say very similar to what John said, that the Spirit is
an entity outside of yourself that is revealing something to you.
All right.
I would say that it's generally more on an astral level, generally. And when it comes from soul contact, it's more from the soul level. It's from within you. And the spirit gives warm feelings. You can feel it almost physically. Mm-hmm. But with soul contact, it's just this inner knowing.
Okay. Okay, you guys are on the right track.
How about one's more permanent than the other?
Yeah, that's true too.